Coming up on Golf Today, Hideki out front at the Zozo in his native Japan. Runner-up to Tiger 2 years ago. Can he add a home win to his green jacket in the same year? And Danielle Kang makes a move in South Korea. The leaderboard is stacked with major champions, including Minji Lee, Inji Chun, and a resurgent Jin Young Ko. And Phil Mickelson on the course in Virginia for the Charles Schwab Cup playoffs, hitting bombs and dishing out advice on how to play Kiowa? Seriously? All coming up on Golf Today.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet.
Welcome into Golf Today. Damon Hack alongside Rich Lerner. Rich will be putting on a tie in a little bit, but I like the casual Rich Lerner, my man.
We're going 6-3, 6-4 across the front line. And what a shock. You know, I want to start talking about basketball.
You know how much I
love
the game. You do love the game.
So why am I talking basketball? Because as a prelude to round two of the Zozo Championship,
yeah.
Golf Channel, 11:30 Eastern Time, I piped in Steph Curry, my favorite player in the NBA today, who loves the game of golf, was on our set, by the way, at the Ryder Cup. But Steph Curry last night, and there are parallels to the game of golf. Curry followed up a 5-for-21 season opener down in L.A. at the Staples Center against the Lakers. They still won. 5-for-21 with a 45-point bonanza last night in the home opener in San Francisco. He started the game, Damon, 9-for-9 from the field. He had 25 points in the first quarter. And then he made two deep threes late in a pulsating win over the Clippers. I mentioned the Ryder Cup. He's done a content deal. Steph has. He's in the media business. Check this out. So he did a content deal with NBC Universal.
Yes.
He was part of our Ryder Cup coverage, as you know. There we are on the set at Whistling Straits.
What are you talking about?
Hold on. I wanted to talk hoop. I wanted to talk off-ball movement, right? I wanted X and O with Steph. He wanted to talk swing plane. He wanted to talk about Rory McIlroy. He's a great player. He's been as low as a +2. He's
amazing.
Now scratch. He's a member at the Cal Club. You've seen him
yes.
out at the Century
yeah.
out in Tahoe.
I mean, he loves the game.
Event. Right? He loves the game.
It's such a gift to have the Romos, Smoltzes. I mean, Steph Curry, they love golf. If they could put away the basketball for a little bit or the baseball bat and just play golf, I think they would do it.
And don't you think that's as good a Grow the Game initiative as just about anything?
Yes,
right?
I do.
Is the superstars from other sports telling the next generation, this game is really cool.
Yeah.
So I said there are parallels to golf. So remember, coming off the 5-for-21, he goes 9-for-9. Bad hole, bad round, bad game. Steph said, quote, after last night's game, you figure out how to turn the page really quickly. Right? You have to do that in golf. And then the famous phrase in golf is dig it out of the dirt, right? Steph says of his own swagger, it is earned confidence from the work you put in. Mm. And there's a viral video from last night's pregame warm-up. He made 5 of 5 from like 35 feet just over the logo. Mm. He puts in the work. We love Steph Curry.
Was considered overrated. Questions about what kind of NBA career he would have. He's one of the all-time greats. And what a great gift that he loves our game.
All right, so I mentioned that the second round of the Zozo.
You stayed up late. A lot of golf.
And another superstar put on a pretty good show.
Yeah.
And a show for the home fans. And that is this guy, Hideki Matsuyama. The weather was cold and rainy.
Not in Vegas anymore. That was golf in a dome. This is golf in the elements. Hideki, this is already been a fantastic, you know, record year for him, winning the Masters, and now trying to add a home victory at the Zozo, where he finished a few shots behind Tiger Woods a couple of years ago.
You know what's amazing? He said that if his game at the Masters was a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, his game coming into this week at the Zozo was a 1.
He has so much humility. That's what makes him so appealing among also, his incredible long irons and fairway woods. He's a fantastic player to watch. And to me, when I watch Hideki, the key is the putter. If the putter's hot, he's in the mix.
You know, we've talked about growth of golf in Asia. Hideki, a two-time winner of the Asia-Pacific Am, and I'm headed to Dubai, by the way, for the upcoming Asia-Pacific Am next week. Joaquin Niemann's a winner of the Latin America Amateur Championship.
Yeah, 6 feet tall. He's 13th in driving distance in 2021. There's a deck now rolling it. I mean, this is just This is a player, Rich, who's 175th in strokes gained putting in 2021. But when that club is warm, he's in the mix.
He has shown a propensity, though the stats don't back it up, to sort of dig it out in big moments. I think that the pitching, chipping, and putting has been better in some big spots, even if the stats don't back that up. And so Tommy Fleetwood. Fleetwood has struggled with his game. He's looking for some form. Colin Morikawa.
Yeah, does he even know what struggle is? Colin Morikawa, two-time major champion. Xander Schauffele, we know what Japan means to him, the sight of his Olympic gold medal. Bit of a struggle yesterday.
Yeah, I wonder if his grandparents are out there. You know, I love the story
how
he sneaked them into the hotel room Sunday night after he won the Olympic gold medal. His grandfather taught at a university in Tokyo.
Ricky Fowler showing some signs of little life late in 2021, looking for that first win since 2019. Game is better with him in it. When he is playing well, I mean, that's a given.
Yeah, he's popular. To say the least. Ricky did make a big number. That's been an issue. Ricky with the shades. Tough day to be wearing glasses. You need some wipers on those lenses. Now Hideki Matsuyama. This is at number 8. His second shot went low with it.
I mean, you want to talk about hitting at the perfect weight. That's where the amateurs struggle. When the amateurs in the trees has a tendency to stay in the trees. At least I do.
I'm with you on that. He made par there. It's a good par. Now, Joaquin Niemann, par 4, ninth, second.
I mean, he looks like a strong wind would blow him over. He's a wispy strong, like maybe a young Hank Aaron.
He's wiry. Brendan Steele, par 4, 17.
Man from Idyllwild, California. Long way from home.
Says he doesn't love playing in the rain, the elements, but he was pretty good yesterday. Shot a 68, and he's 2 back of the lead.
Doesn't rain much in Idyllwild.
Now, this guy likes the elements because he's from England. This is standard fare from Matt Wallace. Birdies at 16 and 17, short pitch for his third at 18. That's a really nice little bump and run. So 3 birdies to close for Matt Wallace, 69. He's 2 back of Hideki Matsuyama. And now Cameron Tringali in the par 4 ninth.
Looking for that elusive first PGA Tour win, Rich. But he continues to play well. Fantastic round of 66.
Yeah, that matched the best score of the day. So the conditions were difficult. So Hideki's looking for a 7th PGA Tour win. He's hitting greens, 16 greens in regulation both days to lead the field. And his last win in Japan was 5 years ago. How about this for Cameron Tringali? No one's won more money without a victory than Tringali, more than 14 mil.
The money's good, but you know he wants to change that and add that victory. And I tell you what, I said it at the top, they're not in Vegas anymore. That was Golf in a Dome. This week it's Golf in the Elements. You look at the scoring comparison, the PGA Tour last couple of weeks, that CJ Cup at the Summit Club. I mean, birdies and eagles were available. First round, 68.95. That Zozo, a lot more difficult. Second round, similar story, especially when the umbrellas started coming out for round 2.
Yeah, nice to see the tour in Japan and nice to see fans back out. Remember, they were not there at the Olympic Games. It has been a big year for golf in Japan. Go back to April, 17-year-old Tsubasa Kajitani of Japan shot even par 72. She won the Augusta National Women's Amateur Championship to get that week started. And then it ended on a rather high note, didn't it, Dana?
Sure did. A week later, Hideki Matsuyama became the first Japanese and first Asian winner of the Masters Tournament. Matsuyama shot that 1-over-73 in the final round. Let's not forget that 65 on Saturday. And, of course, the moment his caddy, Shota, bowing to Augusta National on that Sunday in the gloaming.
Yeah, that was powerful. Great show of respect. And then this summer, Japan hosting the Tokyo Olympic Games, men's and women's golf competitions. They were both thrillers down to the wire. Xander capturing gold on the men's side, and it was a sweep for the Americans with Nelly winning gold on the women's side. You see Mone and Nami, that was big in Japan. She won silver. And don't forget, as we talk about Japanese golf, the number one ranked amateur in the world is from Japan, Keita Nakajima. And there are 3 players inside the top 12 in the amateur rankings that are Japanese players. So just back to Hideki Matsuyama, Damon, where is he at now at 29 years of age?
I tell you what, I think already the greatest golfer from Japan on the male side of all time, and how fascinating to be at that position at the age of 29. And you can argue Jumbo Ohsaki with his 94 wins on the Japan Tour, but he did not win a major championship. And here's Hideki, who grew up watching the likes of Yu Darvish and Ichiro. I mean, he was a baseball fan growing up, and now he is kind of reaching that level of fame. I think the biggest question for him is, how do you handle that as a young man at 29 when you know that Japan is such a sports-crazed country and a golf-crazed country?
One thing about Hideki Matsuyama is he does not court the limelight. Mm. He's not out there to do 100 different commercials. I mean, the fame now is there for him,
yeah.
I mean, no matter what he does. But he's more of a solitary figure. You see Hideki at PGA Tour events. He's often alone, the end of the range, maybe a caddy. But he doesn't travel with a big entourage. He travels lightly. Mm. He has a home in Orlando. Keeps to himself. I think for Hideki, it's all about just playing great golf.
Yeah. The entourage doesn't happen with him, but the entourage follows him. He may not have one, but and I'm talking about the media attention. I'll never forget covering him in Bahamas at the Hero and seeing the cameras that were there and the reporters that were there. After his round, this is in December. This is supposed to be a quiet time in golf, and Hideki would finish his round. He would go to the putting green, and they're waiting for him, a sea of reporters. This is Tiger Woods-esque in terms of where Hideki sits in Japan, and I think he handles that with aplomb.
There's no question he's the greatest male player ever. I mean, obviously, Jumbo Ohsaki won, what was it, close to 100 or 100 tournaments back in Japan, but never won on the PGA Tour. He's in the World Golf Hall of Fame along with Sal Aoki, who was the first male Japanese player to win on the PGA Tour.
Yes.
Famously, remember with Vin Scully on the call, the holeout at the Sony Open in Hawaii, but was next most victories by a male Japanese player would be what? Maruyama, Shigeki
three?
Maruyama with three wins. He's on the cusp of number seven, not yet 30 years old. And then obviously the Masters is an all-time moment. There's no question he's the greatest male player from Japan.
Yeah.
The PGA Tour is the greatest league in the world. And he's come and he's staked his claim there.
I'll admit, I was nervous watching him at the Masters, wondering how can a player with that weight on your shoulders, with the country living and dying with every shot you hit, and knowing that no male had ever won a major championship, and he does it at the Masters against that leaderboard. You know, Xander Schauffele in the mix. You know, Justin Rose had that fantastic start to that week, and just seeing him handle that Saturday with the storms that came, and then holding on Sunday, it told me a lot about what's inside this player.
And it was sort of vintage Hideki Matsuyama. The horn blew when he was on the 11th hole in that third round. He went to his car, played video games, came back out and just ran over the second nine and posted 30 for that 65. That's where he won the tournament. That bought him some room to spare for the final round 73.
Yeah, Hideki Matsuyama was on that list of best players without a major championship. Ricky Fowler has been on that list, which I think you could say among the best players without that major. You see the second round of a 71. And you know, Shane and I talked about it as well, and I think it's been kind of part of the bio of Ricky Fowler, those big numbers. He made a 7 in the first round. He made a 7 on the par 5 yesterday. That has been kind of part and parcel with this player, who can be aggressive or who can compound mistakes as he tries to get back to relevance on the PGA Tour. How important is that he puts those big numbers away?
Well, obviously, it's really important. We've been saying that for years, and we've been asking the question for some years now, is Ricky Fowler going to be great? And I think at this point, you would say likely not. Good? Sure. Good for the game.
Best golf behind him?
Good for golf, absolutely. We need to get that out of the way. They don't come any nicer than Ricky Fowler. Is he going to win a major? We don't know that.
I'm going to say yes.
Four or five years ago, you would have said yes. Now, I don't think the answer is as clear. The clock's ticking. It's not deep into the night. At what is he, 31?
32 years old.
32 years old.
Younger than Phil, younger than Adam Scott, Justin Rose. We've seen this movie a lot, and I think we forget sometimes that everybody's not going to be Tiger or Jordan Spieth.
He maybe never was a great player. A great character in the game, a great personality in the game, and great for the game, no question. But I don't think he's going to end up as a great player. But could he win a major? You can be a good player with a major championship on your resume and not great. If I had to bet my house on it right now, I would say probably yes. Ricky will win a major championship. I think he has talent. I always do bet on talent. But I don't think it's great.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame talent.
He has been the best putter on the PGA Tour throughout a season. And I'll tell you what, I spoke to some of his good friends, and Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, a few years ago at the Players, and they thought it was laughable to think that Ricky Fowler would not win several majors. Now, that was before the struggles of the last couple of seasons, but I think he's starting to put the pieces back together. Doesn't have to play perfect golf on the weekend in a major. Just hang around. Be in contention. Find yourself on the board.
Asking the same question of Ricky Fowler at the start of this new season that we were asking about Jordan Spieth at the start of last season. But remember, that's not quite apples to apples.
Yeah.
Spieth's a three-time major champion.
Yeah.
He's a young legend of the game. There's a difference between a legend and a star. Ricky's a star, but he's not yet a legend.
Maybe
Could he get there? You never know.
Maybe he takes a page, some inspiration from Jordan Spieth, who has definitely taken a walk in the wilderness and now back in the winner's circle. Well, speaking of the winner's circle, Jin Young Ko just seems to live there on the LPGA Tour, made a big move back home in Korea. Who's player of the year, by the way? Is it going to be Jin Young Ko or Nelly? We debate next on Golf Today.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet. This season, don't just bet, live your bet life.
Round two highlights, LPGA, BMW Ladies Championship, Busan, Republic of Korea. This is In Ji Chun, two-time major champ, her third shot, the par 5, 15th. Sticks it close to go on to birdie to get to 10 under, and she was not done, Rich Lerner.
You know, overlooked sometimes. Such a good player. In fact, with today's round, 34 rounds in the 60s. That's best on tour this year. And she's only a shot back.
Danielle Kang, major champion. Forgotten about a little bit this season, I think, with the emergence of Nelly Korda. At the time, was probably the leader in the conversation of the best players from the United States.
Good fast start. Kang said she got a tip from her coach, Butch Harmon, that helped this, which she called Butch her fairy godfather.
And Butch doesn't sugarcoat things. Butch will tell it like it is. I think that kind of speaks to the competitor inside Danielle as well.
So Danielle Kang, 68. She is at 10 under par and only one back in South Korea. Na Rin on par 4, 7th or 2nd.
I love the rhythm and tempo of that golf swing, just staring it up and down. Amazing. They hit the shot the right weight. You know, choosing the club, hitting the shot, executing.
On the par 4, 10th, birdie putt. Weather was a little bit better today than it was on day number one. And that's a great roll for Na Rin On. And she moves ahead to the par 5, 15th hole. This is her third shot.
You think about the talent that this country has produced, not just on the LPGA Tour, but the KLPGA Tour.
That's why players like A-Lim Kim can show up and you don't know who they are in America and win a U.S. Women's Open, as she did a couple of years ago.
And Jin Young Ko was a dominant player on the KLPGA before coming stateside.
Here's another player from the KLPGA. Jung Lim, par 3, 13th. That's for Cher Belie. He gets a 10 under. Now Lim on the par 3, 14th.
That's for the outright lead. Little slider left to right, rolls it in, gets to 11 under, currently shares the lead with Na Rin On at 11 under par, midway through the BMW Ladies Championship. And there are some fantastic storylines on this tour this season.
Lynn is 21 years old. How about this, Damon? You know about that tempo. She has not missed a fairway through 2 days and is a bogey free. Jin Young Ko, so we talked yesterday that incredible streak of 14 straight rounds in the 60s came to an end on day number one. She bounced right back with 64 to get into this tournament.
Yeah, remarkable. Talk about someone who doesn't miss a lot of fairways. 15 of her last 16 rounds now in the 60s. And the start of this year was all about Nelly Korda, Nelly Korda, Nelly Korda. She wins her first major. She becomes world number one. She wins Olympic gold. But Jin Young Ko is closing fast.
I think there's a little bit of a rivalry. Mm. Nelly Korda is still number one in the world. Jin Young Ko is number two. But Korda, to your point, closing fast. Well, Nelly has sort of cooled just a little bit, took some time off after winning Olympic gold in Japan. Jin Young Ko's won three of her last six starts with an additional runner-up finish. She's
been
on a tear.
Tail of the tape between two players who go about it, Rich, you know, very differently. Of course, the wins are the same. The top tens are close in the scoring average. But Nelly Korda, of course, one of the longest players on the LPGA Tour. Jin Young Ko, we'd say she's a more efficient player. But with two events left now, both in Florida, Nelly has talked about how excited she is to have golf returning to her home state. You would think that would give her a little bit of a boost. She currently leads the race to the CME Globe, currently leads the race for Player of the Year. It is a point system. She leads Jin Young Ko by 15 points. But with a win this week, Jin Young Ko would pass her for Player of the Year. And I want to ask you, are you comfortable with the point system as opposed to the players kind of filling out a ballot?
Ask you, based on what? The points are accrued how?
Just by wins.
So
30 points
10.
For wins. Yeah, they're double during the major championship week. So it comes down to math. It's not a vote.
You know, you should know in most years pretty clearly who the player of the year is.
Yeah.
I thought on the PGA Tour it was a clear-cut case for Jon Rahm. Patrick Cantlay won the player of the year.
Yeah.
And on the PGA Tour, it's voted on by the players, and it's a secretive ballot. We don't know, you know, did he win by a lot? We don't know who voted for whom.
Yes.
But I thought, based on the way Rahm played at the big championships, that it was an open and shut case. Rahm was head and shoulders better than Cantlay at the tournaments that matter. So I would say I'm comfortable with the points-based system. I would rank it this way. Wins are most important.
Okay.
Your performance in the majors and the big championships. In the men's side, it would be the players, but I would also include on the women's side the finale, the race to the CME championship down in Naples. And similarly, on the men's side, you would say the FedEx Cup matters. Not as much as a major, but it absolutely matters.
And it's growing in importance.
And then I would say consistency over the long haul. And both of these players, Jin Young Ko and Nelly Korda, have been very consistent. They're close in terms of number of rounds in the 60s in scoring average and top 10s.
I was surprised that Patrick Cantlay won the Player of the Year on the PGA Tour. I thought that his peers and Rahm's peers would value Rahm's stats, value Rahm's consistency over the long haul. But I think I'm learning as time goes on, whether it's Rory McIlroy being voted Player of the Year over Brooks Koepka, or in this case, Patrick Cantlay over Jon Rahm, that PGA Tour wins and FedEx Cups and Players' Championships are starting to be elevated in the minds of the players.
Is there a nudge? You can't help but think this way. Is there a nudge from the powers that be at Pontevedra to say, hey, guys, this matters to our tour, that we're trying to elevate the players, we're trying to elevate certainly the FedEx Cup. Those are properties that the PGA Tour owns.
Yes.
And I don't blame them for trying to push those properties to elevate their value. It's a business in the end. So I can't help but think that players are getting a nudge from Pontevedra, and I mean the administrators at Pontevedra, to say, hey, look, value PGA Tour wins as much as majors. I know typically golf geeks out there value the major championships. I don't deny that the FedEx Cup has grown. It has. And if you talk to players, they'll tell you it matters. But I still think it's about majors. And I think Rahm was head and shoulders the best player on tour this past season.
I think Jay Monahan wouldn't be doing his job if he wasn't pushing the membership to say, hey, the Players' Championship and the FedEx Cup are extremely important. But I agree.
I understand why they would do it.
Yes, yeah, right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Got to answer to the membership.
Hey,
want to keep them happy.
Phil's back in the news.
Phil making news?
What a shock.
I mean, Phil's dominating the news cycle. Morning, news, night, social media. More Phil in just a bit. My first round coverage of the first leg of the Charles Schwab Cup playoffs is coming your way at 2 p.m. Eastern time. All eyes on Phil Mickelson, who won at Tim Aquana, was first in distance, last in accuracy in getting that victory. Asked yesterday about the age-old debate, distance versus accuracy.
So I look at longest. Like, I try to hit it the farthest out here, and I was number one in driving distance. That's what I look at. If you want to look at stuff that's irrelevant, that's have at it. But what I'm looking at is distance. I want to hit it, I want to fly it 305 and try to, because I am a really good wedge player. So if I get wedges in my hand, I'm going to be tough to beat.
I just look at wins. So
yeah, same.
It's good to be Phil Mickelson.
It really is. He's having quite a run here. Was he 51 now? I'm going to make a statement here. No one has ever turned 50 with as much juice as Phil Mickelson. Jack was close 30 years ago, and until the age of 60, he was a threat at the Masters. Remember, at 58,
yeah,
he sniffed it on Sunday. Brandel made a point in the newsroom, and I'll jump on with Brandel in 30 minutes for Golf Central. Put it another way, he's the first reigning major champion to play the PGA Tour champion.
Yeah.
And he's still, we know you can't count him out. He didn't do much after winning at Kiowa the PGA Championship, but we know he's still capable. And to the point he made, he's still long enough, right? I mean, and on this tour that he's playing now, accuracy does not mean a thing for him. Yeah. It might mean something for Doug Barron.
Right.
Who doesn't hit it long. So if you're not very long, you better hit it straight.
Yeah.
Right, if you're going to have a chance. But it doesn't mean anything
for
Mickelson. I mean,
Phil, we saw what he did at the par 5 16th at Kiowa. I had to hit the drive of the week.
Blew it by Koepka.
I mean, it's remarkable what he's been able to do. And it speaks to how he has taken care of his body and also the good genes that he has. And he's, as Brandel would say, kind of blessed with that long, languid swing. I think this is PGA Tour champion specific. Sure, the PGA Tour distance is favored, but I think it's especially stark on PGA Tour champions where Phil Mickelson might as well be Bryson DeChambeau out there.
Brandel ran some numbers last night on Golf Central. So at Furyk and Friends, the last tournament that he's won, and he's won three of his four starts on the PGA Tour champions. He averaged 301 yards, and the field average was 263, so he's almost 40 yards longer. And Brandel makes a good point. By comparison, when Rory won the CJ Cup in Vegas recently, he averaged 321 off the tee, and the field average was 306, so 15 yards longer than the field average. 40 versus 15. This is an insane advantage. So if Mickelson, we were batting this around last night, if Phil played, say, 18 events on the PGA Tour Champions, just decided that's where he wants to be, how many would he win? He might win a dozen. That was Brandel's take last night. I tend to agree. I think he could win, two of three starts out there, which he's on a pace three of four right now.
I think in all tours, LPGA, PGA Tour, Korn Ferry, PGA Tour Champions, distance matters. Top five in what's driving accuracy in 2021. Brendan Todd, Ches Reavie, Brian Stewart, Ryan Armour, Abe Anser, they combined for one win. Top five in driving distance on the PGA Tour last year, Bryson, U.S. Open and the API. Rory, winner at Quail. Cam Champ, winner at the 3M. Matt Wolf, couple runner-up finishes. I mean, listen, from putting Camillo and Bubba and JB on the cover of Digest, I mean, for 20 years, VJ would bomb and gouge it. I mean, that's the era we live in, and Phil is just taking advantage.
It's mattered going all the way back to Jack Nicklaus, right?
Of course.
I mean, Nicklaus was a monster.
Playing a game Bobby Jones wasn't familiar with.
Right. Yeah. We have a social media question.
We do, and it pertains to Phil Mickelson. Do you agree? We want to know. Driving accuracy is irrelevant? Reply with your thoughts below for a chance to be featured on the show. Right now, Billy Ray Brown is going to be featured on the show, joining
us
from Richmond.
Come on, Billy Ray.
Inside the Charles Schwab Cup playoffs. Billy Ray, good to see you. Phil Mickelson says driving accuracy irrelevant. Is he right?
Well, you know, up to this point right now, he's spot on right now. He's won three of his four times on the PGA Tour Champions. I've seen all three victories, and he's driven it sometimes off the charts. But as long as he hits it, he's always found it seems he has a window. His escapability is incredible. So right now, he's right.
Billy Ray, what difference, if any, has Phil made in terms of ticket sales at the PGA Tour Champions events that he's played?
Well, I will tell you, interesting, the last time he played there at Furyk and Friends at Tim Aquana there in Jacksonville, not so much of ticket sales. Yes, they're up, but also our ratings number was up too. So anytime Phil is in our window and TV window here in the PGA Tour Champions, he's a game changer right now.
Has he indicated to you or anyone else on the crew, Billy Ray, how much he plans to play on the PGA Tour Champions? And will we see him through the next two playoff events if he qualifies?
Well, you know, that's interesting. I keep pushing him all the time, and he will not divulge any information whatsoever. You know, he's the reason I think he came back here, one, because he's the defending champion. Right now, off to a very slow start. He's one over par through eight holes, so he's got to get going, but he can make up some ground here on the backside at the Club of Virginia. I would not be surprised if we see Phil Mix at Timber Tech there in Boca, then make his appearance at the season-long ending tournament at the Schwab Cup there in Phoenix.
Well, Phil Mickelson may be the man right now on PGA Tour Champions, but Bernhard Langer has been the man for almost 14 to 15 years, but he doesn't have a win in this calendar year. What do you see for Bernhard Langer at the age of 64?
Well, one thing I see, the timeless wonder. You know, he turned 2 months ago, he turned 64 in Michigan at Warwick Hills. On his birthday, when he turned 64, what's he shoot? 64, shoots his age, gets himself in that final grouping there on Sunday. And you already talked about it, the calendar year, not a win yet, and he's number one on the Charles Schwab Cup points list right now. Every year at the start of the year, we wonder, okay, is this the last year? He's getting up there, getting long in the tooth, if you will. But he grinds as hard as anybody out here. He's got the same worth ethic and, that he's had for a number of times. And I will tell you guys, it's still surprising to me. He sits atop of the Schwab Cup points leader, and, you know, he's playing as good as ever right now. Now, he has not knocked down, as you said, a tournament in the calendar year, but he's been in position a number of times. It's not like he's lost it. Other players, because the depth out here on the PGA Tour Champions is really, really tough right now. He has not lost it. Other players have just come back to beat him.
He is four behind Hale Irwin's all-time mark of 45. Is that record safe? Is this going to be Joe DiMaggio? Is no one going to touch that?
It all depends on who you ask. I don't think it's safe still. I think Langer has still got a bit more left. I mean, and I know from speaking with him in the back of his mind, he says he doesn't think about it much, but definitely he would love to at least tie the benchmark set by Hale Irwin at 45 wins. He's sitting at 41 right now, and we'll see what he does. I think, you know, that he still has a chance. Some say he doesn't just because of the age. I will never doubt Langer.
Billy Ray Laney taking you to any of his old haunts? I knew he grew up and went to high school in Richmond. Huh?
Oh, yeah. No, you know what? I just want to tag behind Laney, because he is a absolute star here in the state of Virginia. Everywhere we go, but here in the state of Virginia, yeah, you know, I just want to get behind him, all the well-wishers. But, you know, just hang behind Laney. I'm going to do what he does and does what he says. So he is a big deal here, or certainly a Hall of Famer on the crew.
A Virginia great, along with the brother Bobby. And the Watkins brothers were ripping it up in the 1960s. Vinnie Giles, a great amateur. Obviously, Sam Snead, Curtis Strange as well, a Virginian. BR, thank you. Billy Ray Brown. Has been at it for a long time, does a great job covering the PGA Tour champions. All right, Bernhard Langer.
Yeah.
Here we go. He's leading this elongated Charles Schwab Cup season with a bump in the road, more than a bump in the road. COVID interrupted this, so that's really over 2 years now. He has not won in the calendar year 2021, but he has been close. 36 events he's played over the last 2 years, and he's 64. I played on Monday, my elbow's sore, my back is got. I mean, I don't know how he does it.
Meticulous.
I mean, look, he talks about it. He stretches.
Yeah.
He works at it. He takes it as seriously as he did when he was 24 years old. He loves the competition. I'm amazed because, you know, he's fighting not just all the challenges and demons that anybody at any age fights in what can be an impossible game. He's fighting Father Time.
Yeah.
And Father Time is Tiger 2000. Father Time doesn't lose.
Yeah.
And Langer has Father Time, you know, one down, you know, with five to play.
Yeah. Fighting Father Time and fighting Phil Mickelson doesn't sound like a lot of fun for someone who's now 64. We've seen Scott Hope win at 63. Mike Fetchick won at 63. Bernhard won at 62. Jay Haas won at 62. But as you said, Father Time is undefeated. And you throw in this new crop of 50-year-olds, 51-year-olds like Phil and Jim Furyk and Padraig Harrington. Yeah. Ernie Els playing very well.
No question.
Miguel Angel continues to play well. Alex Cheka coming from nowhere to win a couple of major championships.
I'll make a statement. He's not going to catch Hale Irwin. That's too high a mountain to climb. That's four more wins. I don't think he's going to do it. But I do think he's going to become eventually the oldest ever winner on the PGA Tour champions. And I think he'll be competitive. I think he'll contend and maybe win as late as 67, even 68 years old on the right golf course. That's how good I think he is. I think, and we've talked about this, there is nowhere else in the world of sports where you can look, relatively speaking, minus the 500 yards, right? You know, you're playing with 66, 67, 6,800 yards versus a 74 on the PGA Tour, where you can can look as you did.
Yes.
You can still, 30, 40 years ago, you can still shoot the 65s and pile up the birdies. Where else, Damon, can a 64-year-old compete? In business, yes, but athletically, there just aren't many places. So what a way to stay sharp. Mm. And I think that aspect of the PGA Tour Champions is often overlooked. Mm. I think the tour is unfairly sometimes dismissed. Ah, I don't want to watch the old guys. No, this is special. And I get it is more of a what they would call a corporate play, a pro-am play in terms of a business proposition out there. It's a good value play for a company that doesn't want to spend the kind of money you need to spend to sponsor a PGA Tour event. But you get two pro-ams and you get to mix it up with the legends of the game. And then, you know, the party's over.
Yeah.
And these guys will get after it for 54 holes. That's a sprint, not a marathon. You have to be on your game. Furyk, all those guys who just turned 50 will tell you that.
Mm.
I think it doesn't. I don't think it gets the appreciation that it deserves.
Bernard Hardlanger works as hard as anyone. He still charts courses. He still is meticulous.
He charts
still,
courses.
He does. He walks the courses before the early in the week.
I mean, come
you
on.
Don't win 41 times on PGA Tour Champions, 42 times on the European Tour by just hanging out. One of the great workers.
Yeah, by the way, Brandel's got a great story coming up
in
about 25-30 minutes.
Yeah.
Brandel's got a great story about showing up in an event.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil it, but it's a Langer story,
it's
a really good one.
Good stuff. Yeah. Langer contending with Father Time and contending with Phil Mickelson, who was out on the golf course. This is the first hole putting for birdie. Is he wearing shades? I can't see. Is he wearing the shades? I mean, here we go. This is what Bernhard Langer is contending with.
I think Phil's cooler at 51 than he was at 31.
Oh, just ask him.
you know what? You can also ask Phil about any number of subjects. You could ask him about Chinese aerospace, and he'll engage you. You could ask him about the Pacific plant life.
Mm.
He'll engage you.
Yeah.
You could ask him about Scottish independence. He'll go there with you.
A little too much plant life, a little agua.
I don't think he wants to talk about that.
Those plants in the water, no good. He's trying to bounce back now, putting for eagle on the par five.
You know the other thing, Damon, with Phil is just how much he loves to play.
Yeah,
he plays almost every week. I mean,
there's some athletes like Karl Malone would not watch basketball games unless he was playing in the basketball game. There are a lot of golfers, pro golfers, who won't watch golf. Phil Mickelson truly loves the game. Like he continues to, his love for the game has not waned. And I think that's very special and unique.
We got Lumpy and The Rock. Rock's pushing 60.
I want to see these guys, these great characters, still great players, competitors.
I did that feature on Rocco for the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, obviously you know, what he did with Tiger in 08. So I went to Panama City area to catch up with Rock, and he's smoking a cigar, hitting balls barefoot. He's got a toe ring. But Rock, I'm proud of Rock because he got sober.
Mm.
And he got a 5-6-year-old girl. Marriage is strong. He's put his life back together.
Yeah.
It was a little bumpy there for a while.
Absolutely. You can see Phil and The Rock and much more coming up 2 p.m. Eastern time today. Golf Channel Live first round coverage, the Dominion Energy Charity Classic. Stay tuned. And yes, Rich and Brandel in the bullpen. A little pregame coming up next.
Golf Central Update, brought to you by Callaway Golf.
Highlights from the European Tour, Mallorca Open. Gorgeous. Great stay in Spain.
Have you been there? You're well traveled.
Yeah, Spain
is. You guys go.
It's a blind spot. We got to do Spain.
That looks really nice.
It does. I'll tell you what, Jeff Winter and Bryce Easton having themselves quite a week so far. Is this the Easton Assassin?
That's where the man Larry Holmes was one of the first. I grew up, you know, two towns over in Allentown. He's one of the first great athletes I covered. Larry Holmes.
Love Larry Holmes. Bryce Easton, world ranked 554 from South Africa. 63 low round of the day, tied for second.
Get in.
Come on.
Oh, do that. That's 63.
I'm glad we squeezed do that in on this hour show. You got it in.
That's a big lead for Bryce Easton. Where have you gone now? Alvaro Quiros.
Yeah, big hitter from Spain. Great interview, by the way, if you ever get a chance to talk
right.
to Alvaro Quiros. I talked to him once in a feature I did on Sergio Garcia for Sports Illustrated years ago. speaking of the European Tour, how about John McLaren? He's caddied all over the world, caddied for Paul Casey the last 6 years. In a story published by PGAtour.com, McLaren has announced he is taking an indefinite mental health break from the game. Before he carried the bag for Casey, he worked with Luke Donald, and during their time together, Donald reached number one in the world. The PGA Tour releasing this statement on Twitter: "This isn't retirement. It's a brave thing to do." Paul Casey's caddy, John McLaren, to take an indefinite mental health break from the game.
Just to be clear, you know, mental health, it's obviously very serious. And you see, this is what he's known for, these socks. If he rolls in, say, to Riviera, he'll wear Los Angeles Lakers socks.
Right.
Chicago Bears socks if they're playing in Chicago. There you go, UK. And certainly not to minimize it. This has to do with COVID.
Yes.
He lives in England, has a family, young kids, and you know, it's hard enough, as you and I both know, to travel in normal times, but to jump through the hoops that you have to now internationally with COVID and the testing and the requirements and the protocols has become just too difficult for him, and it's taken a toll. And he said he was bringing some of that angst home to him, and he just wants to take a break, and that's fully understandable.
I think COVID-19 has wreaked havoc on the mental health of a lot of people and athletes. I think Matthew Wolf, who talked about being in hotels and being by himself and trying to find out things to do and trying to wonder if it's all worth it. And to hear, you know, Johnny McLaren say that I was coming home and I was being a different person. I didn't like who I was becoming, and I don't know where I'm going next, and I'm having to do the swab here and maybe quarantine there, and the countries have different protocols. Good on him for to look after himself and his family.
Johnny Long Socks.
Yeah, great character.
There's so many great nicknames, right? Well, Fluff is back on the bag for Furyk, a week off. He was limping. Fluff's, 93 years old now and still carrying 82 pounds. I mean well, God bless Fluff. I mean, he's an all-timer. Bones is back out there.
I think Fluff might like basketball as much as you do, by the way. He loves basketball. Fluff.
He's a big
Fluff
fan.
Fluff loves hoops. Loves college hoops.
And he likes The Grateful Dead.
Yes,
and all
he does.
All things that go with enjoying The Grateful Dead.
You're heading.
Do you know what
I'm
saying?
I do.
Yeah, I'm going to put a coat and tie on.
You're
and
going
go
over to Central?
With Randall.
Are you
going to
talk Steph Curry with
I don't think that
gonna,
no.
More Phil Mickelson.
We're going to drill down and talk forward Schaffling and fine acting.
No doubt.
No, I love it.
It's
I enjoyed
great having you, my man.
I enjoyed it.
Have fun.
Man. Thank you.
Charles Schwab Cup playoffs underway today. Phil Mickelson, what a charge he's put into the 15 over set.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet. This season, don't just bet, live your bet life.
Zozo Championship through 36 holes in Japan, and what a story is brewing. Hideki Matsuyama out front, looking to add this prestigious title to his green jacket. What a year it has been. Time now for the 19th hole. Phil Mickelson, always time for the fans, dishing some advice about how to play the side of his latest major.
Hi, Phil. You're my favorite player. I'm Sean. I'm playing Kiwa tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
That's right.
That's not that hard.
Not that hard, Phil. The focus of our social media question as well. Do you agree with Phil that driving accuracy is irrelevant? We promised some thoughts from you on the show. We have some now. Mike says, for tour pros, driving accuracy seems irrelevant now, but I don't agree. For your average player, spraying it everywhere off the tee runs up the score and causes slow play, constantly searching for your ball. Mike, I agree. Thomas, misses are so big and so random in the size of the miss that losing golf balls and taking big penalties add up. Three, he makes a bogey or double, he usually makes birdies to make up for it. Amateurs don't have that type of ability. Double, triple, quad, they just keep adding up. Jonesy, if it's irrelevant, why hasn't he won more often the past few years? Wow, Jonesy taking some shots. The reason he won the PGA is because he drove the ball great that week. And finally, T-ball game. No, for a pro with all the shots, maybe, but amateurs don't have those shots. By the way, be sure to check out the Golf Today podcast. Lots of fun. Don't be left behind. Golf Central. Pre-game, getting you ready for the playoffs. Rich Lerner and Brandel Chamblee coming at you next.